This is Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence with Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Saturday's concert by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra will feature Edward Elgar's famous cello concerto and the ballet Petrushka by Igor Stravinsky. The soloist for the concerto is Haye Ni, principal cellist of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Ms. Ni joins me here today. I'd like to say hello. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for coming to WMUK.
Thank you.
So, when did you become the principal cellist of the Philadelphia Orchestra?
I became principal cellist in 2006, September of 2006.
So this is your 10-year anniversary.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah. Was it as an orchestral cellist that you saw yourself being a musician when you were growing up?
Actually, I had no idea when I was growing up what I wanted to do with the cello. I played cello because my mother played the cello.
She was your first teacher?
She was my first teacher. And I started playing when I was about 6 years old. And small size cello, very small size. And then I went to the Shanghai Conservatory of Music for young children. So one thing led to another. I started playing the cello, you know, more seriously.
Were you boarding at the school, or did you live at home and attend?
I lived at home, yes. Yeah, because it was right in the city that I grew up in Shanghai, China. So,
and how did you stick to it? I mean, there are moments when you're a young musician where you can go either way. You need a certain amount of perseverance, I think.
Oh, yes. I actually had a lot of pressure from my parents.
That's one source of, stick-to-itiveness.
and school. But that's also meant support, you know, my family supported me a great deal, and also my teachers and the school supported me a lot.
You did eventually move to the United States to continue studies.
Yes.
First in San Francisco?
Yes, yes. I came to the States when I was 13 years old, and I went to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music because I met a wonderful teacher there.
Yeah, it's usually just the one individual who
makes that
connection and sort of gives you the ability. I mean, moving to a completely different culture around the other side of the world is such an upheaval.
Yes.
So was she able to help you with that transition?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody was very nice, but I was extremely shy when I first, I think my first trip to visit other cities was to Los Angeles. Went to a music festival for cellists, and it was a month after I arrived in the States, and I shut myself in my room and just practiced all day because I didn't want to go out and talk to anybody, you know, and everybody thought I was so hardworking.
And they all seemed like so sophisticated and like they knew what was going on. And
right.
You were
right.
Just like,
yeah, I was like, what?
I'm safer studying in my room.
Yes.
But eventually you figured out how things work and how to navigate the city and the school.
Yeah. It took about 1 year because I went to regular, junior high school. And I think my first semester, I really did not do well in all my classes. But the second semester got much better, and I started to make friends, and was actually very quick. After 1 year, I got much more used to it.
Were you able to stay there for very long?
Yeah. I went to a private school after that because they had a music department and offered me a scholarship. So I went to, it's called the San Domenico High School, And that was very nice. So I had my main high school education there. So.
Now, I know at some point you went to the East Coast all the way to New York.
That's right. I went to New York to go to Juilliard. And I studied with the cellist of the Juilliard String Quartet.
Joel Krosnick.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is his last season, I think, with the
That's right.
Juilliard.
That's right.
Yeah. So completely different teacher, completely different city. But, yeah. You know, you have to keep growing. I think that's why teachers are willing to give up their students sometimes, because you can give a student a lot of things, but they still need what another teacher can provide.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. One teacher, you can't get everything from one teacher. You know, you have to study with a few people.
You do.
Yes. I actually stayed with my first teacher for a long time, for seven years, until I was 20.
Does she still have a teaching studio?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's very active. She still goes to New York. Her name is Irene Sharp. She still goes to New York and teaches at Manus. Like once a month, she goes to New York once a month. Has a lot of students.
But the chance to go to Juilliard, I mean, that is one of the top schools, yeah. If not the top school.
Yeah.
I've heard from many Juilliard graduates, people who went there, that they learned almost as much from their peer group at the time. Mm-hmm. You make those connections and maybe don't realize it at the time, but it's these people you'll be seeing over and over throughout your whole career.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back.
Right. Around the Lincoln Center area, so you just run into everybody around there.
So. Sure. Oh, you were part of the Lincoln Center Chamber group.
Chamber Music Society 2, which was a young artist program, and for 3 years. Yeah, so that was wonderful. I you know, it was by audition and also some recommendation, and so I was part of the group for 3 years and performed on the series quite a few times with the regular members, you know, like David Schifrin, clarinetist, Annie Kavafian, and Paul Neubauer, Cho Liang Lin, so. I got to play really a lot of great music, and I found playing chamber music was a wonderful way to learn musicianship from just working with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't hide in the section of an orchestra when you're playing chamber music.
That's right. Yeah, people can hear you.
And you can go through the repertoire of such good composers, the same ones who are so important in orchestral playing as well.
Right, right.
So you get a real feel for style and difficulties, things like that.
Yeah, and there's a huge amount of repertoire for chamber music. And Brahms, you know, the quintet, piano quintet was famous, string sextet for two cellos, two violas, and two violins. And Mozart, you know, quintets, viola quintets, clarinet quintets. It's a lot of wonderful repertoire.
In New York, there are some really important, like, seminal ensembles that are writing and performing new music, like Bang on a Can. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Did you get interested in anything in the new music area at the time?
Yes, yes. I actually had a piece written for me by Bruce Adolf a long time ago after I won the number competition in 1990. He wrote a cello piece, a solo cello piece, and I performed it for my second recital at Ellis Tully Hall Lincoln Center. And I also played works by Bright Shang, Zhou Long, and Tan Dun. Which I did his Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon cello concerto.
It's from that movie. I love that score.
Yeah.
It was Yo-Yo Ma in the film score. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so you must have worked with Tan Dun, the composer.
Mm-hmm.
He conducts as well.
That's right, yeah.
So you got to really feel for what he's style of writing
Right.
is.
Right. Right.
That's one of the most exciting things about classical music these days. You know, there's some things to be worried about, but one of the bright spots is certainly that in China, classical music is loved and practiced and performed, and we are seeing such incredible, you know, talent from China and composers, and we're getting a sense of, well, now that, you know, they've kind of absorbed this Western style, the Western style is now absorbing some of the Eastern style in pieces, and right, Bright Sheng right. and Tan Dun are helping to provide that to us. So
right, right.
And you've been involved in some recording projects too.
Right, right. I think Bright Sheng used some of the traditional folk melodies from different regions of China and put it all together in his, that's his style of writing. And Tan Dun is more like, he had a lot of experience in the Chinese Peking opera because he was in a theater group when he was a student. And so he used some of that operatic theatrical elements in his writing. So they're quite different.
At some point you began playing in the New York Philharmonic during this time. Assistant principal?
Associate principal.
Associate principal. Yeah. I seem to remember a radio broadcast of Tan Dun's percussion concerto. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, water water music.
Yeah. Were you part of?
Water concerto, yeah.
Were you part of that?
Yeah, I was.
Oh,
I was.
That's amazing. That was a really interesting piece.
Yes, yes.
So joining the New York Philharmonic, I mean, that's, to me, that's like the end of a career or something. You could just be like, okay, and now I'm done. But so it must have felt great at the time, right?
Yes, yes. I actually was not expecting to get the job because I was very young and didn't have much orchestra experience. Kurt Mazur, who was the music director then, he heard my playing and also the audition committee. So he thought I was very talented and that experience will come.
Right.
So that's how I got the job.
Well, who helped you the most once you were seated in the section?
Well, my I got some help from my stand partner, who was the principal, Carter Bray, and also from the section and from other musicians in the orchestra.
Yeah.
But basically, I really had to just practice all the time, learn all the repertoire.
There was a lot of repertoire. Learning your part or learning the whole score?
Learning my part first. Yeah, and because I didn't know that we perform 4 concerts a week, and every week is a different program. And
you have to take in so much repertoire. And of course, most listeners would know that string players do have more notes.
Yeah,
it's just a fact.
Yes,
you're playing
yes.
almost all the time,
yes.
And there's a lot to absorb.
Yeah, we're like the foot soldiers in an army.
Well, tell me about the audition for Philadelphia.
Philadelphia was great. You know, it's rare to have a principal position open. And so because everybody is tenured, have a tenured position. So this last principal, he retired after being in the orchestra for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, now I can go audition, you know, for...
Well, every other great cellist in the country thought the same thing, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people at the audition. And, you know, from LA Philharmonic, principal from LA Philharmonic, Baltimore Symphony, and other orchestras. So I was really kind of nervous. I was like, all these people, right? Big, tall guys. And So, but I played many rounds, and so they liked my playing, and that's how it happened. Yeah.
My guest is Haye Ni, who is the principal cellist of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and she is soloist for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's concert on Saturday. Music begins at 8 o'clock. There is a 7 p.m. prelude, an introduction to the concert presented by Maestro Raymond Harvey. And more details, ticket information, and such is available right now at kalamazoosymphony.org. I thought we'd take a moment here, Ms. Ni, to hear a recent recording. Is this a recent recording of you in the Philadelphia Chamber Orchestra?
It's about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're playing one of the, not the Elgar, but one of the other like handful of top cello soloistic
Right.
pieces, the Tchaikovsky Rococo Variations.
Right.
Difficult piece?
Difficult piece, but very charming. Very charming.
I feel like the tune is something a lot of listeners would already know. So I just zipped ahead to a couple of variations that I thought were just gorgeous. And you play just so musically. You are music. I
Thank
can
you.
see why they were so impressed. Let's hear Haye Ni with the Philadelphia Chamber Orchestra. And a reminder, the concert is Saturday. Details at kalamazoosymphony.org. We just heard a portion of the Rococo Variations by Tchaikovsky, played with my guest here as soloist Haye Ni, who is performing on Saturday with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, the Elgar Concerto, which is what I would like to talk about now. It's one of the
Sure.
most important pieces in the solo cellist repertoire. I'll let you tell the story. Anything about the history of the piece and your history with it would be great.
Yes. I started learning the piece when I was about 14 years old. It was like a summer project.
Sure, you were getting started pretty early on the Dvorak Cello Concerto, the Elgar.
Yes. All the big pieces one summer. Yeah. I always wanted to learn that piece because I heard, the famous Jacqueline Dupre recording of it, and her story, and it's so romantic. So I really look forward to playing it. So I performed with other orchestras this piece a few times, not a lot, but maybe about 4 or 5 times, and it's actually quite a challenging piece because it's very long. It's half an hour long. It's not as long as the violin concerto, however. But anyway, so it's really a beautiful piece, very soulful.
There are no breaks, is it?
It's the first and second movements are together, and that there's a break after the second movement.
Okay.
It has the most beautiful slow movement. the third movement, and then a really fun last movement.
Edward Elgar was, of course, an English composer. One of his other most famous pieces would be the Enigma Variations, which I'm sure you've played.
Yes.
In orchestra. Where does this land in his creative output? Is he a young composer, older?
I think older. It was written right after the First World War, and it was his reaction to the war, and it was performed by, of course, a British cellist with the BBC Orchestra, and
maybe, but it didn't, Adrian Bolt.
I think
probably
Adrian, yes.
So after World War One, that's when, you know, my music history textbook is telling me, you know, musicians and composers especially start throwing away the past.
Right.
Is that what he did in this piece?
No, he's still a true romantic. Yeah.
So it's almost nostalgic.
Nostalgic. Yes.
So the first soloist to play it would have had a big challenge as someone who'd never seen the music before, mm-hmm. And didn't have, you know, the Jacqueline Dupre record to,
yes, that's right,
to go by. But as someone who has, you know, will be interpreting this, you know, many years after it was written, and many other cellists have already interpreted it, that's another kind of challenge. You have to find your own way of looking at the piece.
Right. Own language, your own way of playing. I grew up with the hearing recordings, but as I get older, I kind of look into the piece. Every time I go back to playing it, I look at the score in a different way. And so there are always some new ideas that come up, like, maybe I could use this, take this time here and not over there, and use a different fingering, try a different color. Mm-hmm. That kind of things. You know, it's not going to be major changes, but small changes here and there.
Do you teach at this point?
I have a few private students. Yeah. I'm usually very busy, so I don't really teach very much.
What is it like to try to teach a famous concerto like this?
It's a great pleasure to introduce a piece to a young person. And I'm not too keen about getting them to play everything just right, you know, perfect, but just to kind of introduce them to it early, and because they will come back to it many times in their lifetime and play. So
that first introduction, being introduced in the right way, I think, is important to mm-hmm. a young. You can kind of screw it up if you put too much pressure or create a lot of stress with that initial encounter,
right?
Because that will stay.
Yeah,
with
they'll
the
probably
piece.
Yeah, they'll probably never want to play that again.
So to make it a really
a good experience,
So not too much at once.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Usually just to get them playing the right tempo or right notes, mm-hmm. you know. That's.
Did you have, when you look at your score, is it marked up with special notes you've made over the years?
Yes, a lot of markings.
Are any of them from your teachers or friends?
Yeah, from my teachers, and myself. And I look back, you know, my music is about 20 years old, and I look back and the sheets are falling apart, you know, and it's like, why did I write that? That's interesting. No. Let me erase it.
The music, of course, will not be in front of you on Saturday.
Right.
When you are away from the music, what do you see when you play?
I hear the music in my head. So it's all supposed to be already internalized. You know, when we learn a piece of new music, it takes maybe a month to really learn it. But then it has to be internalized so that it becomes part of me and that it becomes a personal experience so that I can play it out for the audience.
About a month to memorize, but a lifetime to internalize, maybe.
Yes. It really grows. It really grows with you, you know. And sometimes I try to, if I have a schedule, say, you know, I'm playing Elgar Concerto now, but I already think about practicing it maybe 6 months before.
Mentally,
Mentally,
just
kind of,
without even picking up the cello.
And but pick mentally, but also practice a little bit, maybe once, you know. But that still makes a difference. So just to get myself focused for this.
Would you tell me about your actual schedule? Preparing for this concerto is one thing. For some people, that would be enough, you know? But what else is happening? What happened last week, and what's going to happen after you get back to Philadelphia?
Well, last week I was working in the orchestra, right? We did a lot of music. I can't even remember right now, but
You've gotten to the point where it's a blur.
it's a blur. But I also played Haydn D major concerto a few days ago
Really?
in New York. But next week we are playing at a John Williams concert. Stefan Deneyev is a he's a French conductor. He's coming to play with us. And Yo-Yo Ma is playing John Williams cello concerto next week.
Oh, do you know Yo-Yo Ma?
I do know him. I played in a master class for him when I was 14 years old, you know.
And you might have run into him at Lincoln Center too.
Oh yes, one time.
What do you know about the John Williams cello concerto? Is that a modern classic?
Actually, it's a modern classic, but I'm sure it's beautiful, but I have not actually heard it.
Well, that's nice to know. You know, you still have something to look forward to,
That's right.
and there's always something to learn in this career.
Yes. Fortunately, because, you know, give us more pieces to learn, new language, help us to grow. So,
Well, Haye Ni is the soloist on Saturday with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra in the Elgar Cello Concerto. Music begins at 8. The prelude with Maestro Harvey is at 7 p.m., and this is in Miller Auditorium. Details at kalamazoosymphony.org. I want to thank you for telling me about your musical life here on WMUK. All
thank
the
you.
best with Saturday's performance.
Thank you.